You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ben Reed is the Executive Director of New Zealand's Artificial Intelligence Forum. The forum, launched last year, is a team of technicians, researchers and educators preparing for a future oriented around AI. For Waiwari Week, we're focusing on cyber safety. Their work is relevant because the rise of AI means our world will be increasingly based in technology, and there need to be people ensuring our security is safeguarded as this technology develops. The forum released a report last week, Shaping a Future New Zealand. They found that developments in AI are not going to lead to mass unemployment, contrary to common fear. I started by asking where the worry that the robots are going to take over comes from.
I think there's a lot of mainstream conversation which does focus on, you know, the robots and the artificial intelligence sort of replacing jobs. As part of the report that we put out last week, we've gone and done a bit of an analysis on basically the impact of AI on jobs. I think the first thing to realize is, you know, big technology changes happen overnight. And so, you know, the impact of artificial intelligence will take a lot longer than a lot of people are thinking. So if you look back in, you know, recent history to the impact of, to the introduction of mobile phones, the introduction of the internet, you know, it still takes 13 plus years for each of these major technological revolutions to, you know, gain mass adoption. So I think we'll see the same thing with artificial intelligence. I think one of the other considerations to think about is also that the economy just needs to reshape itself around these new technologies. And so similarly, jobs will do the same thing. So you'll find that individual tasks within jobs are likely to be automated. And over time, you know, and this happens all the time anyway today, but over time, you know, the roles that we do, we'll find that we're leaving the more, you know, automatable, manual, repetitive tasks to computers and to robots, and that we're able to focus on the higher value, more complex tasks.
As you said, in terms of dealing with that technological change, we need to reshape the economy. What exactly does this change need to look like, do you think?
Andrew Ng, who's a very famous artificial intelligence professor at Stanford University, he's quoted in the report saying that the impact of artificial intelligence will be like the impact of electricity and will have a transformational effect across the whole economy. And so it's very hard when you think back to, you know, before there was electricity, if you'd have asked people, well, what impact is that going to have? You know, a lot of people wouldn't have been able to envision it. And I think we're in a similar position now where it's actually quite hard to envision what a future where artificial intelligence and intelligent machines are all around us all the time will actually be like. So I think it does come back down to some of those principles I was talking about before, that, you know, humans will be able to delegate, you know, the manual repetitive tasks to computers more, and we'll be able to focus on the higher order tasks ourselves. We'll be able to do more interesting work, so that's the real upside, and so more interesting jobs, less dangerous jobs, less hazardous jobs, so we can, you know, send robots down the mines and send robots into hazardous environments. And I think, you know, one of the other areas that we touch on in the report is that there are a number of industries right now where, you know, there are real demographic challenges in the workforce. And so, for example, health, you have a significantly aging workforce, and, you know, there's not really clear how that industry is going to meet its challenges. And so, you know, the opportunity from AI and you know, automation technologies is that it does augment people within their roles and enable them to do more than they could previously.
Is New Zealand prepared?
That's one of the items that we covered off in the report, and we, you know, the report calls for a more coordinated strategy. You know, what we found in the report was that there are pockets of excellence. We did find out that a small number of companies are discussing artificial intelligence at board level. So I think, you know, our report really does call out the need for New Zealand to maintain and to actually to grow our investment in AI, really to maintain our competitiveness internationally. We see, you know, the access and control of these technologies being essential to future economic competitiveness and productivity and efficiency. And so, yeah, we really think that the time is now for, you know, public and private partnership to, you know, come together and invest strategically in AI technologies and rolling it out across the economy.
Which sectors are most responsible, do you think, for initiating this preparation? I know that you talked about a public and private partnership, but is it government or is it more niche organisations like your forum, for example?
So right now the government is hiring for a chief technology officer who will be responsible for developing a national digital strategy. And so, you know, we see AI as being a core part of that. And so, you know, we look forward to working with the CTO when she or he is appointed. But I think people are looking for government to either provide investment or provide regulation. But I think, you know, we've identified as part of our research a huge number of opportunities for AI to be used to, you know, improve the efficiency and productivity of government services themselves. If you look at across the OECD, a recent survey came out and said that New Zealand is ninth best prepared for the artificial intelligence revolution that's coming. Out of I think it's 32 OECD nations. So we're not, you know, totally on the back foot, but I think there's an opportunity for New Zealand to be part of that vanguard of countries internationally who are, you know, basically leading AI investment and AI development internationally.
And so clearly an important part of that is increasing our education about it so that all New Zealanders know that this is happening. What role does your forum play in mobilising awareness of AI and the developments that are coming?
Another key item that we identified as part of the research is that there is extremely hot competition for artificial intelligence talent, and so that is machine learning engineers and experts internationally. They command a premium and they are in massive demand. And if you look around other countries in the world, so China and then the US tech companies themselves and Canada and the UK, you know, these guys are hiring all these machine learning experts in, you know, in their thousands. And so it really is a big question for New Zealand is how do we attract the right amount of artificial intelligence talent to our shores? And then also, how do we develop that talent, you know, coming out of our schools and universities? So we would like to see AI and machine learning and basically data science principles starting to be taught as part of the curriculums in New Zealand schools. And similarly, you know, universities probably need to invest a bit more in degrees and make sure that the skills that the graduates are coming out of are what the market's asking for right now.
As technology grows, certain things are more visible, such as Facebook and cryptocurrencies, and they raise questions about our digital and cybersecurity, for example, crypto wallets and the safety when you own that, or Facebook's recent data breach with Cambridge Analytica. So what does the future of AI mean for our cybersecurity, and should we be better safeguarding it?
There was recently a report came out from a number of organizations, like the Future of Humanity Institute in Oxford, and I think OpenAI, which is Elon Musk's investment into AI safety. This report basically, you know, went into depth into the potential malicious and harmful uses of artificial intelligence. And so AI, on the one hand, has fantastic applications for cyber defense. And so in terms of detecting anomalies on your network, detecting intrusions, AI can really help raise that game. But I think also, you know, AI has potential for malicious use. So, you know, we really do call for AI to be a core part of New Zealand's cyber defense strategy. I think one of the other questions around AI safety is, you know, the moral question of autonomous lethal weapons. And so, you know, we're starting to see killer drones emerge, and there is a movement internationally for a moratorium on lethal autonomous weapons. There is an international campaign to stop killer robots, which is it's a global coalition of NGOs, and, you know, really working to ensure that adequate levels of human control are retained when these weapons are out in the field. And so we basically call on New Zealand to know, show some leadership here, and, you know, the recent appointment of a new minister for disarmament, you know, shows openness to New Zealand providing a leadership position internationally on that issue at a very high level. So AI being used in military contexts, and so in order for New Zealand to maintain our resilience to cyber attacks, you know, we need to be investing also in AI from a defensive position.
Nanotechnologist Michelle Dickinson has previously highlighted that there is a distinct lack of women in AI industries, and the threat of that is, you know, their absence sort of stands in the way of the future of equality. So how do we ensure that the digital future is a safe and inclusive one?
Michelle's basically hit the nail on the head there. There is absolutely a shortage of women, and basically a underrepresentation of women in the AI workforce, and this is an issue across the whole tech sector. And I think the concerns around that are that certain biases maybe start to emerge. And I think we cover in the report, you know, a situation where there was an AI system was trained to judge a beauty contest, and you can imagine that if the the representation of, you know, of the developers and the data that that AI was trained on wasn't properly diverse, properly representative, then all sorts of biases would emerge there. Look, I think it's an ongoing program of work to encourage, you know, more women and more people from all backgrounds into the tech sector. And, you know, we really